Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of Resilience Is My Beauty with yours truly, Tawanda J. Hey, what's up, family? How are you all doing? I hope everyone is doing amazing and that you are enjoying yourself and enjoying the day, if not the evening, depending on what time you're listening to me right now. But you know what's up? Come on in the room. Come on in. Come on in. Come on in. Grab you something to drink. Yes, and just go ahead and have a sit down. Have a sit down in our special room and prop your feet up, get comfortable. Now take a deep breath in. Now exhale slow. Take a deep breath in. Exhale slow. Hey, hey, hey. What's going on, my resilience family? How are you guys doing? I hope you all are doing well, and I hope you are feeling good and that you are just taking that breather seriously and not allowing stress or drama or problems, you know, ruin your day or, you know, your weekend, and that you are just fine, right? I haven't used that word for a minute, resilience, in a good while, even though this is a resilience podcast, of course, but I just want to throw that out there and just remind every single one of you that you are resilient, you are resilient, you are strong, right? And all is well with you, all is well, everything's going to be all right, everything's going to be okay, you know what I'm saying? It may not feel like it at this present moment, but trust me, everything is going to be okay, right? So I want to just come on here very quickly and talk with you guys about your yes, when your yes stirs up trouble, when your yes stirs up trouble. And what do I mean by your yes? You know, I'm not saying, you know, you saying yes to a comment or, you know, you're talking to your peers or friends or whatever, and you're agreeing in their conversation, you know, like, oh, yes, you're right. Oh, yes, I know. You know, I'm not saying that. And I don't mean that yes. I mean yes, meaning that you have made a 180 decision. You have decided not to continue to live the way you've been living. You said yes to God, and you say, God, I'm opening up my heart to you. You know, I'm available to you. I'm committed to you. Work in me. Work me over. You know, oh God, I'm saying yes to the assignment that you have been, you know, tapping my heart about. You know, I'm saying yes to the destructive relationships. You are finally getting out of that thing, and you are ready to make a change. You are ready to move forward. You are ready to just say no more. I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. Right? And that yes can stir up some trouble sometimes, right? Not that you are causing it or initiating the trouble, but it's just when you say yes and you're going on the right path and that right direction, guess what? Somebody is not pleased with that yes, with your decision, and that's the enemy. He is real, y'all. The devil is real, okay? I don't know why you're tripping over there. But yeah, it's a spiritual warfare going on that we cannot see through the physical eye. But in the spiritual eye, yes, it is a warfare going on. And when you make a decision to do God's work, when you make a decision to accept Christ in your life, when you make a decision to move forward into that assignment or that calling and ministry, guess what? The enemy doesn't like it. And so he's going to stir up some trouble. He's going to stir up some drama. He's going to cause some friction. He's going to cause some disturbance in your life. And you need to be you need to be ahead of the game. You need to be two feet ahead or 10 feet ahead, you know, of what he's trying to plan. But sometimes we don't think about it. Sometimes we don't prepare ourselves, you know, and then that unexpected outburst comes, you know, or you get a call or somebody gets sick or something happens and it just takes you off, you know, balance a bit, or it stirs you up in a way that, you know, that is not, you know, Christ-like, that is not, you know, spiritual, if you will, you know, or it's not positive, you know, and that's not everybody, because there are some that are very, very strong-willed in the sense that they, you know, they see it and they just know how to handle it just like that. But the most of us, for the majority of us, you know, we're still in that training as to how to handle situations in a better response, okay? So yes, when you say yes, it be ready for the trouble. Be ready for the drama. Be ready for the outburst. Be ready for what the enemy is trying to plan, trying to achieve in your life, right? And I say this to say because that happened to me a couple of Sundays ago. And, you know, I'm not going to go into deep details about it, but I know even before that, prior to that, I had my conversation with God, you know, and I've been saying, yes, God, come in, do what you need to do, you know, prepare me for what you have assigned for my life and this, that, or whatever. And he's been doing that because, yeah, I see the change, I sense the change, and it's good. It's really, really good. But I also, you know, need to be aware that the enemy is going to try certain things. If he doesn't attack you through your work or what have you, he'll attack you that's closest to you, and that will be your family. That'll be your spouse. That'll be your children, you know, and especially if you already had an off and on type of, you know, discussion or debate or argument with your child or your teenager or your spouse, and, you know, honestly has not been resolved, or is just that you guys just go with the flow. You have your spurts, you have your outbursts, have your moments, and then you guys go back into the regular, you know, regular life of just being a family. You know what I'm saying? And not really nipping it in the bud, not uprooting the issue, you know? Well, that's what happened to me. And, you know, I had enough and I was livid. You know, my youngest one is that started this whole drama. And, you know, I don't think she was expecting the outburst. I don't think she was expecting what she had tried to plan in her little head. And it just backfired, you know, and I didn't care no more. I just went totally gangster. I really, really did. You know, I'm not boasting about my behavior or anything, but I just had enough because I endured this issue. I dealt with this for so long that after a while, when you're ready to move forward and you just deal, you just had enough. You know, you just had enough. And that's exactly where I was, to the point that even that Sunday, I was late to go to church because I was already in the process of going to church. I was getting dressed and everything, but my youngest daughter decides she just want to go ahead and hit me with this little text message that she sent me. And she was in the house, of course. She was upstairs and I was downstairs or whatever, and you know, and she texts me this craziness or whatever. And I'm like, absolutely not. You are going to church, you know, you know, don't come with me with this, you know, this drama and stuff. And then one thing led to another, and her father got involved in the conversation. And here's the thing, he wasn't even here. He was out of town. But, you know, for some reason, he decides to call me, which I kind of figured was odd, you know, for him to call me, you know. And then, of course, through the conversation, I find out why he really, really called. And it just irritated me because I'm like, please don't, you know, come in, you know, half stepping like that. You know, I'm a type of person that you want to ask me something, ask me. Don't come up here and, you know, make it all pretty and all that stuff. No. If you got something to say, say it. If you got something to ask me, ask me. You know, don't go ahead and play with my emotions or stuff like that. I ain't got time for that because I don't do that to you. So don't come around doing that to me, try to dress up the stuff and then go to come and ask the question. You know, that I don't like that. Because God don't do that to us. He don't go ahead and pretty up stuff and then gonna go ahead and ask us questions. You know what I'm saying? That's just not how it works. You know what I'm saying? So, and then I just, you know, said, you know what, listen, this got to stop. You know, I'm not going to deal with this. My answer is what it is and so forth and so on. And then, you know, he want to go ahead and try to gaslight and do all that craziness and whatnot, man. And I was done. I hung up on him. Yes, I did. And I had every right to do so. You know, I know people like, oh my goodness. Oh no, because when you have been through so much down through the years and you have seen, you see how God is truly developing you. And he has helped me to really open up my voice, to really learn how to stand up and speak my truth and not be intimidated, not be afraid of those bullies that want to go ahead and dominate and try to shut you down. No. I'm done with that, right? And so I went and proceed forward to do what I needed to do. And yes, I hung up, and yes, I went up and to my daughter and just went off on her, and went, and I just spoke my truth to her and just went off on that chick. And yeah. So of course it just went on and went on in an argument back and forth and what have you. And I just told both my daughters, you know, I just got on them real hard. You know, the bottom line is that she didn't want to go to church. She wanted to stay home because the night before she was celebrating her last homecoming and didn't even realize she had already told her dance instructor or ministry dance instructor and her tech crew at the church a week prior to that, that she wasn't going to come anyway, come to church the following Sunday because of her homecoming. But the thing about it was she came home enough. Even after the fact, when they had like a little after party with her friend's house, that, you know, I gave her a curfew, like, okay, you can, I let you stay till 1 a.m., but you coming straight home because we got church in the morning. And so she knew that from jump, but she never proceeded to tell me during that day of about her, you know, initiative plan was to stay home. Or really, originally, she wanted to just stay at her friend's house because most of her, you know, most of the friends was going to stay over and everything, which I had nipped that in the bud that day of her homecoming. I told her that, oh, no, you ain't staying over, so don't even text me, don't call me or nothing after the fact. The answer is a no, but you are welcome to go and hang, you know, because we have church in the morning. So anyway, bottom line, she texted me talking about she had already talked to her dance teacher and you know, her tech crew, that she wasn't going to come anyway. I was like, first of all, you don't make that determination. Second of all, you are going to church, period. Okay, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to. It's a different story. You came home like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, and yet you have to get up 2 hours later. That's totally different. But to say, you know, you got home at a reasonable time, still enough time for you to go to bed, get some rest, and get up at 7:30 in the morning to get ready for church, that to me is a good enough time. You're wired, you're ready to go. But anyway, bottom line, at the end of the day, I had to minister to my daughters again to give them the full understanding of what giving God praise for. Why is church so important? We have to stop just with all these excuses. You know, we when it comes to our own personal selfish desires, oh, we go ahead and take care of it real quick. Whether it's going to the movies, whether it's hanging out with your friends, whether it's going to a party, whether it's going to a concert or what have you, or, you know, and you were working before and you dead dog tired. But boy, you want to hang out with your friends and just da 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 da. You'd be happy to go, right? But when it comes to going to church, when it comes to rehearsal, when it comes to practice, or anything in relations to spending time with God and giving Him praise and worship and all of that, oh, we just like, oh, you know, I'm so tired. Oh, you know, Ooh, Lord, I, you know, I need to be at church, but you know, I'm so grateful that our church has a social media platform and this, that, that. I'm going to, you know, have church in my home. And I'm not saying anything's wrong with that because, yeah, I know there's people who are not physically able to do that, to go to church and all of that. And thank God for the live stream that's available for us and all of that. But there are some of us that are just really, really, really just abusing that privilege. Okay. There are some of us that are just plain lazy and don't want to go, right? You just want to stay in the bed, sleep all day. But as soon as you get a text or you connect with your friends or whatever the case may be about, oh, my friends want to go to the movies. Oh, we want to go to the mall or go to the mall. Oh, or whatever. You'll be ready to go. You get up, take your shower, go ahead and fly down them stairs real quick or go up and you'll be ready to go. But yet you're not willing to get up and spend a few hours and go to the church and be amongst the people physically there and have a great service and be fed by the word of God just to say thank you. So, yeah, I went on ahead and ministered to my daughters that day, that morning. And I was in that, and I was in a mother mode. You know, I wasn't in a preaching mode. I was in a mother's mode. And I explained to my children why it's important for us to go to church, because God has been that good. He's been that good. And it has nothing to do with attendance. It got nothing to do with it's an obligation. No, you should go to church because God has been mighty, mighty good to you. We continue to abuse that privilege of His grace. We continue to just put God on the back burner. We continue to do that. But as soon as something happens, as soon as something occurs, oh, then we want to go to church. Oh, then we ask for prayer. Oh, then we do. No, we are messing this whole process up. God should be the first priority and the only one at the top priority. There should not be no competition. There should not be, I'm going to give God some time and then I'm going to flip the script and give my boyfriend some time or get my girlfriend some time or go to the mall or whatever. You put things before him or you put him from number one to number 10. On your list or number four on your list. No, he should be number one at all times. He's the one you should seek first at all times. Because if you look at your life and you look at the history of your life that since you've been on this earth, God has done some miraculous, wonderful things. Whether you want to admit it, whether you don't want to acknowledge it or not, he's done some wonderful things in your life. You didn't do it. You didn't do that on your own. It was God that did some things for you that you can't even scratch your head anymore. You just like, I give up. God did it. He did it. Because I can't even to this day understand how it happened or when and why, but he did it anyway. I could have been homeless. I could have been dead. I could have been in the hospital. But God, he gave me another chance. You know what I'm saying? And I'm teaching my daughters the biblical principles about, serving God righteously and honorably, that he is the one whom you should give praises to. He is the one you should give honor to. He is the one that you should talk to all the time. But not put him on the side so you can just go ahead and satisfy yourself, satisfy your flesh, satisfy you. No. Now, when you become an adult, yeah, you choose what you want to do. Okay, you choose what you want to do. But, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That's just how it's going to go down. And that's how it should be. But, of course, I had this debate and back and forth. And, I was done. I was done. And so, of course, after a while, when I proceeded to go to church and everything, and I was still filled with my emotion. My emotion was just all over the place, and I had to really suppress that or let it out in some form of way. So I went and talked to one of my sister friends, and she listened very, very well and everything, and and she was just blessing me with so much. And then eventually, I went and spoke to another minister sister of mine, and she continued to bless me as well. And she told me, she said, when you say yes to God, the enemy is going to come and try, and he's going to try and attack you through your family, through your career, through your finances, or through your body. And you gotta be prayed up. You have to be covered up, in the word. And because the enemy doesn't want you to have what God has promised. The enemy doesn't want you to have what God has promised you. She said, the enemy, he's scared because he knows what that's on the other side is so powerful that it's going to change the trajectory of people's lives. And you are called to do that assignment. And the enemy doesn't want you to have it. He doesn't want you to see it. He doesn't want you to touch it. He doesn't want you to sniff it. Okay, so he will do whatever he has to do to distract you, to keep you off track, whether it's you or whether it's people closest to you, right? And that would normally be your loved ones. You know what I mean? And that's how it would happen with me, because I said yes. I said yes to God. And she even said to me, she said, when you say yes to God, be ready for the battle. Be ready for the disturbance. Be ready for, for things to come around and trip you up a little bit. But just know that God got you. God got you, and you win. You win. You don't give up no matter how bad it gets, no matter how crazy it is. You don't give up. Right. And I told her, I said, no, I'm not giving up. Mm-mm. No, because I'm sick of this. I'm sick of that I'm sick of it. Right. But when you make a decision in your life, Be ready for that turbulence. Be ready for the trouble. Be ready for, you know, these peculiar, weird, or crazy, whatever going on in your life, you know, and just laugh at it at the time. You're like, okay, all right, I see what you're trying to do, devil. I see what you're trying to plan, but the devil is a liar. There's no truth in you. God got me and my children. We are safe in his arms. We are protected in his arms. And God will give me the strength to pursue, to keep going. And I'm not going to cave in or quit. Yeah, it doesn't feel good. Yeah, it hurts and this, that, or whatever. But God is developing me to be that strong, conquering warrior. I am not going to bow down to you. I'm not going to just, you know, ignore God. I win because God is in me. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we have to open up our mouths verbally and really speak it out to let the devil know you lose. I am God's child. I'm covered by the anointing. You know, I am anointed and so forth and so on. You say what you got to say and you keep on going. Yeah, your body may have been compromised or what have you, and you might not feel so good and this, that, or whatever. It may trip you up and probably taking you to the hospital, to urgent care, whatever. You know, you may feel uncomfortable and whatnot, but you still on keep on pressing forward. You keep on, you know, giving God praise. You still continue to claim your healing, you know, and not give the enemy nothing. Just rebuke him in the name of Jesus and keep on going. You know what I'm saying? Because you said yes, and your yes is solidified. Your yes is solid. You know what I'm saying? You are serious with this thing, because you don't want to go back into that roller coaster lifestyle and your emotion is going all over the place. You don't want to go through that same period of your life, or that period of your life where, you know, one minute you okay, next minute you're not, and this, that. You had enough of that. You know, you have seen enough in this world. You have seen enough through people that you know. You're tired. You're tired. Your body's tired. Your heart's tired. You're tired, and you want to breathe. You want to be free. You want to live once and for all. And so when you make that decision, when you say, yes, Lord, or say, yes, God, help me. Yes, God, I need cleansing. Yes, God, I need a new life. I need another chance. I need a new beginning. And you are serious about that thing? Oh yeah, God got you now. He definitely will help you. He definitely will work in you, right? But also be ready for what the enemy has been allowed to work on you, okay? Because he can't do nothing until God gives the approval. Let's get that clear, all right? If you think about Job in the Bible, you know, God and Satan had a conversation about Job, because Job was committed to God. You know, he reverenced God, he worshiped God and all those things. And you see, he was very wealthy, and God was just pouring the favor and abundance on his life with his family and all of that, you know. And God and the enemy had a conversation. And the devil had just assumed that, you know, that Job was not going to be that faithful and that committed and this, that, or whatever. And God said, okay. You have free reign, but just don't kill him, you know? You know, don't kill him. And that was like, all right, let's go. Let's get this party started, right? Mm-hmm. And you see what happened, right? You see what happened. And then through the course of that challenge that he was going through, you know, Job, he was still committed. Even though his body was compromised, his heart was compromised, mentally he was compromised. And you know, he was just really, it was rough for him. He saw his family die. You know, his whole work was gone. Everything that he worked on, everything that he was committed to was gone. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, that can really put a person in a position where they just can't curse God and die. You know what I'm saying? They could curse them out and just totally walk away. And I know that might be too sensitive for the ears of people out there, but guess what? There are people who have done it, right? There are people who have done it. But Job, he was consistent. He kept on believing and kept on praying in spite of the pain, in spite of the hurt. Yeah, he had his doubts. Yeah, he was, you know, debating because he had his three little friends over there that just didn't know no better. But yet they came up and come up with all kinds of crazy options and conclusions and, you know, and solutions from their own, you know, carnal thinking and all of that. You know, they really was not supportive at the end of the day. But thank God Job held. He persevered. And then at the end of all of that, God blessed him 10 times more than what he had the first time, right? And so likewise, it's similar to us. Some of us are going through that. When we say yes to God, when we commit to him and we, you know, pour our hearts to him and this, that, or whatever, you know, and we say yes to him and this, that, or whatever, get ready for that challenge. Get ready for what the enemy has been allowed to do, right? You got to know how he works, y'all. You got to know that, you know, because God is not about destruction. Now, he will use what the enemy is trying to destroy to develop you. He will use that to strengthen you. He will use that to build you up, right? You know, while you're in the fire, you are not being singed. You're not being burned, right? The fire is not touching you. You're in it, but you're not being consumed by it, okay? So you come out as pure gold. You come out refined, right? And so that's what these trials and these storms and these challenges is all about, right? And it doesn't feel good. It doesn't look good. Don't smell good. But you best believe that God is still working in the midst of it. In the middle of it, God is still working. He's working it out. He got you, right? So even though you don't feel good, even though it hurts, you may shed some tears, you know, and all of those things, and your flesh may get a little bit of it, you know, get some, you know, your flesh will take dominance for that moment. When it's all said and done, you know, you calm down a bit and you start to, you know, rethink of what that day was. You just say, God, forgive me. I repent of my behavior. God, I still give you praise because you still carrying me in the midst of it all. You still got me. And you said you would never leave me nor forsake me. You promised that to me. You said that you got me. You stick closer to any brother. That I would still continue to provide for you. I would still continue to keep you. And even if that situation does come to a person passing away or a person loses their home or they lost their job, yet God still is there. Yet God is still your comforter. He's still your helper. He's still your provider. He's still your keeper. And he's not missing a beat. He still will provide for you in a way you just never thought coming. He will never leave you stranded. He will never, never, never leave you alone, right? And we have to be reminded of that even in the darkest hour, even in the middle of that storm, right? It's just like with Peter and the rest of the disciples on that boat. Jesus is sleeping and they having a moment. They crying and scared and screaming and everything, you know, like with Steve Harvey when he does that scream that cracks me up every time. And if you are Steve Harvey fans and, you know, he gets in his joke mode and he like, ah, you know, he starts screaming. I crack up laughing all the time. So in a sense, that's how I sense it with the disciples. They just screaming away. Because the storm is rough and the boat is shifting and this, that, whatever. And they looking at Jesus like, Jesus, do you not care that we could die here? What's going on? You up there sleeping and the little lambs up there flowing over your head. You just having a sound rest. And here we are panicking because we're about to drown. And Jesus like, yeah, little faith, what's wrong with y'all? Right? And Jesus just told the storm to cease. And all of them looking all crazy and buck-eyed and stuff. They're like, what kind of man is this to tell the storm to chill? You know, they still couldn't get it. But even in the midst of the storm, what? Jesus was there the whole time. And he was already giving you the first thing that you need to do. If you really paid attention, what? He was resting in the midst of the storm. He was sound asleep, even though the boat was rocking, the storm, the wind was howling, but yet he was in a peaceful rest. And that's what he wants us to be, in a peaceful rest in the midst of the storm. Yeah, your boat of life, your issues of life may be shifting and going back and forth, and the wind is howling and all that stuff, people fussing and cussing and all that other stuff, but you, your soul is at rest. And that's how we got to do it. That's how we're supposed to do it. Our soul is at rest because we know that God has control. He has control of your storm. He has control of the battles in your life. And we got to learn how to be, to release it to him so he can give us rest, right? So when you say yes, be prepared for that, for the storm to come. Be prepared for it, right? You may not see it or may not be happening now, but be prepared. Be ready for it, right? Your teenage may want to go ahead and act like a little, you know, somebody sometimes and act like they know what they're doing. And, you know, they sometimes can be stubborn or hard-headed or what have you. But you just continue to, you know, give it to God in prayer. You know, we got to learn how to pray more often. Pray without ceasing is so important, guys, because the enemy is roaming around seeking whom he can devour. And if you leave that window open, or you leave that door open in your heart, he's going to seep right on in. So you have to be on your P's and Q's. And I mean, in a spiritual sense, you know, you got to be ready for what the enemy is trying to do. You see how Jesus was when with the enemy at the time when Satan came to him and, you know, and showcased or presented to him the world that you can have this and this is if you just honor me, you know. And Jesus came back with the word of God against the devil 3 times, right? He told him, no, you going to bow to me. Come on with it. You know what I'm saying? We got to use the word of God as our defense, as our shield and our buckler. And we got to go ahead and speak it out to the enemy. And guess what? He going to run. He going to flee from you. You know what I'm saying? So when you say yes, don't be hesitant with it, because some of us, you know, we know our assignment. We know we're supposed to be doing, but sometimes we get scared because we don't want to go through the heat. But the key thing is you're going through it. You're not going to get burned by it. Now, unless you decide to do it your way, then get ready for the burning. Okay. But if you go ahead and allow God to order your steps, he's with you in the midst of that storm. He's with you even in the lion's den. He's with you in that fire. He's with you. And guess what? You are safe. You are protected. You are covered. Right? Just like Daniel, when he was thrown in the lion's den, he didn't get consumed because the angels shut the lion's mouth up. Come on with it. Right? And Daniel, he just there praying and giving God praise the whole time. And then when they came back to find out if it was nothing left of him, they couldn't believe it. And they couldn't believe that Daniel was still alive. It's God. God would take care of his own. He got you. He got you, right? And so, yeah, we may go ahead and get out of pocket every now and then, because we're human, right? We're human. Not excusing our behavior, because, you know, we go a little bit too far. Yeah, we gotta own up to it and say, I popped him a little bit here and there, or I cussed him out. I repent on that. Lord, help me. I see I still need you to deliver me from that. And he will do that. Own up to your mistakes. Own up to your faults. Own up to it, you know, and God will start cleaning you out from the inside out, right? I happened to watch, binge watch yesterday, Coach Prime, which is Deion Sanders, by the way. And I was watching a documentary that, you know, he had originally started, since he started coaching for Jackson State University, which is a HBCU, by the way. And And I've been following him since he started because he has been doing some wonderful things with the school and just opening up great opportunities for all of the HBCUs. That's his goal. And a lot of people, of course, you know, they have their personal ills about Dion and all of that or whatever. But I love the brother because, first of all, he's a true honorable man of God. He don't have no problems, you know, talking about Christ in front of everybody. You know, he is bold about that, and that he knew the call. He answered yes to the call, right? And I'm pretty sure he knew that when you say yes to God, that, yeah, get ready for the battle, get ready for the war, get ready for whatever the enemy is going out, you know. And he had already originally planned to do other things, but God had told him, no, you're going to come to this school and you are ready for it. Because he said, I developed you, I trained you, I prepared you for a time such as this. And, you know, he took it. And when he got there, he saw the things, he saw how things were, and he didn't like it. And of course, one thing led to another, and he, you know, went and connected with people, companies, and all these other things to get the funds to, you know, to revamp, you know, the field for the football players to play and all that stuff, and so forth and so on. And it was just a beautiful, beautiful unfolding of, you know, what God had already prepared for that school. But it's not just for that school in particular, but it could be an opening for other HBCUs. And that's what he, Coach Prime, you know, is working on. You know, that's why he's taking advantage of all these different outlets out there. It's not about him. It's not about him. No, it's about the assignment. It's about breaking down the walls and really reconstructure, if that makes sense, you know, how to, you know, get people to support other HBCUs and all these other things. And so he's doing a great job. But during that season, and this was last year, I think, of 2021, he was dealing with his leg and his foot and everything. And he didn't really, at that time, they didn't really talk in depth about what he was going through. But in that documentary, it's very raw. It shows everything, you know, the surgery, well, you know, after the surgery and all that stuff or what have you. And it was something, man. And he went on and tell his team, you know, about, you know, the devil is trying to, you know, try to paralyze him. And I don't mean physically, but just stop him and block him from doing the assignment that he has been called to do. But, you know, he said, you know, he may, the devil may try to put a halt on his mobility, but not his ability to continue to use his voice to mentor, to encourage, to inspire, to continue to do the work that he's called to do. So he may not be physically able to walk around and do other things, but he still has the ability and the capability to do the assignment by vocalizing his concerns and all of those things, right? So, of course, he goes through this process and everything, and eventually it gets worse. Come to find out that, you know, he had blood clots in his foot and it trailed all the way up to the back of his ankle, his knee and the back of his leg and all the way down. And it was just becoming very, very serious and it was life threatening. And then he also mentioned that, you know, he didn't know that this was a family issue. You know, that his mom suffered with blood clots. Another relative recently passed away like a year prior from that. One person survived it, you know. So this is a pattern. And so, of course, they had to fix it, had to deal with it. And basically they had to, unfortunately, had to amputate two of his toes. And they had to also take a portion of his leg out. Because it was just that bad. It was swelling. It was, inflamed, all of that, in order for him to live. And they had to do what they had to do. And so, you know, he didn't see the results because he was in so much pain because they was dressing him, you know, or whatnot, changing, you know, the band-aids and all of that stuff. And anyway, he finally did get a glance at it, but he was in prayer mode the whole time. He was in prayer mode. His eyes was closed and everything. And when he saw, you know, the results of his foot and, you know, his leg, he was like, wow. He was just not expecting that at all, you know. And but he never gave up hope. He was even in the midst of that process when they were changing, you know, the dressing and everything like that, he was still giving God praise. In the midst of that, he was still giving God praise. He was saying, God is so good. God is so good. He was hugging one of the nurse assistants. I think it was a nurse or one of his team members or whatever. And he was just saying, God is good. God is good, you know. And I know for some people, they probably just don't get it or don't understand. But when you have said yes to God and you are building this relationship with him, only you and God know what's up. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, he was with you every step of the way. And yeah, you may have to lose some things. You may have to lose a limb. You may have to lose this or that. But you are here. God still, he still kept you. And so that was just so powerful. I was crying with him and everything, you know. And it, the determination and the perseverance and his resilience, man, it was just so beautiful to see that. And so some of you may not be going through a physical ailment like he did, but you're going through a spiritual ailment. You might be, you probably in the process of losing something in your life or someone, or, you know, something painful that you did not expect to see the result. You didn't expect it to be this deep, but it happened. But in through the midst of that storm, yet you still praise him. Yet you still acknowledge who God is, like Job did, even David did, you know. And so when you say yes, yeah, it's going to stir up trouble. But when that trouble comes, when that pain hits, oh man, you still say God is good. You still say, God, I thank you. You still look up to the hills from which cometh your help. And you just say, God, I give you praise right now. I don't understand why this happened. I don't get it. But God, I'm just grateful I'm still here. Because even Coach Prime, he said, I'm thanking God that I'm here. I'm giving him praise that I'm still here, you know. And you see him now, it's over a year later. He's walking now and, you know, and you don't even see, you know, him. If you see him walking, you would never believe that he had to go through that. You know what I mean? Because God has just, you know, his walking looks really good. You know, at first it was hard for him because he had to go through the therapy and all those things, of course, through the healing process. And it wasn't easy at that time. But, you know, God continued to strengthen him and continue to work on his body and all those things. And now Coach Prime just walking around. He's running a little bit now and everything, you know. So you see the glory of God on this man because he continues to glorify him in his work. You know, he continues to glorify God in the midst of that counseling or in the midst of the meeting, you know, and his team, his other coaches, they are there. He's not hiding his prayer. No, he's bold about it, you know, and he is committed. He is committed. And that's how we, as the body of Christ, we need to do the same. We need to be committed. When we say yes and you are committed, you stand on that. You stand on that. Yeah, because God got you every step of the way. God was with him every step of the way in that hospital. And that's why he still gave God praise. Because God was with them then. He was with them during and before and during and after. Right? So yes, when you say yes, be prepared for the trouble. Be prepared for what's going to take place, you know. But know that God is with you. He's your helper. He's your keeper. He's your provider. He's your protector. He's your shield. He's your buckler. He got you. He got you. He got you. He got you. So don't be afraid to say yes. Don't debate on that. Don't negotiate on that. Don't run away from it. If you are in that position right now and you know where your heart is at this point, if you know it's time for you to say, yes, Lord, I will do it. And best believe that God will have all of those angels that are assigned in your life They will back you up every step of the way. And even when that storm comes, even when that turbulence takes place, do not fear, but just rest in Him, because God got control of the storm in your life, right? So guys, listen, I hope this blessed you. I hope this came right on time for you. I hope this was something that really, really just sunk in your heart at this point, because I don't know the story or what or the outcome or what's going on in your life right now. Some of you probably are dealing with an ongoing battle of whatever, and it seemed like it's never going to end. It seemed like it may appear that God is not answering you or He doesn't care, but God is with you. He's right there with you, and He's there. You already healed, you already prospering, you already win. And that's the thing with Coach Prime, you know, he has, I believe, it's all planted everywhere on that campus, all over the, you know, their apparel, all of that, man. Right? And everywhere you look, I believe is right there. So even when you get discouraged, even when you are in doubt, you still believe that God got you, that God's promises is still in effect, that He will never leave you nor forsake you. He is your strength. He is everything you need at that hour, at that moment in your life. So don't dare run away from that yes. Take bold moves on that yes, and know that through that storm, through that fire, in that lion's den of your life, that God got you, and nothing is going to hurt you or harm you by any means, right? That He got you covered. Get excited about that, because what He has for you, as long as you stay committed to Him, it is yours, and you will see it. And you will indulge in it. You're going to embrace it. You're going to be so excited about it when you have graduated to that portion of your life. Get excited, man. I'm excited for you, right? So listen, y'all, I'm going to let you go, but I hope and pray that this has been a blessing to you. And guys, enjoy yourself, man. Enjoy your life. Enjoy your family. Enjoy what God has already put in your presence at this moment. At this time right now, and just enjoy life. That's what He wants us to do. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice, right? And be glad in it. So He wants us to have fun today, you know, embrace the moment right now. Trust in the moment, trust in Him, trust in everything that is right going on in your life. You may not understand it, but it's okay. Because God is the solution of it all, right? So we're going to close up with a prayer. And again, I hope you guys have a wonderful day, a wonderful evening, a wonderful weekend. And just enjoy. Enjoy. So God, thank you for this platform. Thank you for my resilience family. Thank you for all of those individuals who are listening to the sound of my voice. Lord, you know the issues. You know the situation, you know the trials and the tribulations that your children are going through. And so, God, I pray that this has been a blessing to them, that they will take this at heart and that they will cry out to you, pour out to you, come near to you, and that they will say yes to you once and for all. And for those of you who have said, for those of your children that did say yes, continue to cover them and strengthen them and guide them, oh God, while they go through the storm of life, where they go through the challenges, oh God. It's not to punish, it's not to hurt us, but it's to develop us. It is to prepare us. This is a development stage to build us to become more stronger and more wiser in you. As you have already planted that seed, that reward for us, you know, we don't understand the outcome of what is there waiting for us. And we can't just go to it the way we are. No, there has to be some training involved. There has to be some discipline that needs to be taking place. And a lot of times in our flesh mode, we think we got that all covered. But honestly, we really, really don't. You know us better than we know ourselves. So help us, oh God, with our humility. Help us, oh God, to trust you in the process, to not lean on our own understanding. understanding, and help us, God, to just truly be joyful in our hearts, even through that darkest time, even through that cloudy days, but to truly have joy in our hearts and to open up our mouths and still give you praise, and knowing that this is not the end. This is just the intermission stage. But once we have graduated from that, we're going to start seeing the results. We're going to start seeing the reward. We're going to start seeing our destination, and it's going to look mighty, mighty good. But we want to give you praise now for who you are, for what you have done and what you will continue to do in our lives. We thank you right now in Jesus' name. Amen.